Blog Talk Radio.
This is Carl on Freedomizer Radio, and we're going to have a Bible study pretty shortly here. I'm not going to go into all the crazy details, but the way I signed in today and got on here is unlike it's happened in the last 2.5 years, and I have no explanation, but just bear with my ignorance on this equipment. But we're ready to go. I'm making the assumption I'm on, and waiting for a raven to dial in here, if she would, and we will start. I know she's going to be on because I just been talking to her. I'm going to send her a message to call in. If anybody can hear me, I hope she calls and lets me know. Well, I'm not sure what's happening. I've got to believe we're on, so we're going to go ahead. Here we go. Okay, is that you? It's got to be.
Yep,
you.
I'm here.
All the things you were sending me, I never saw. I never had any music. It was only about, I'm going to say, less than 2 minutes ago that my program showed. You know what program was on till then.
Yep.
So, but here, I don't want to spend any more time.
I tried to go in right. Right. I don't know what was happening, but at least it's...
Every week there's something different. I have no explanation. I don't even care. Let's go ahead and pray and talk about something worthwhile.
Right, exactly.
Talking about this confusion is a total waste of time.
Yeah, and all it does is give power to the enemy, so...
Yep. It takes my mind off of God, and that's what I want to change. Go ahead.
Yep. All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for taking control and taking, not allowing our time to be taken away from you, but rather putting our minds solely on Jesus Christ so that we can go forth and allow the Holy Spirit to take over this program. We make this all about you, not about us, not about anything earthly, but ask you to be in complete charge of this program so that you can be glorified. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay, now before we get rolling, before the sabers start rattling, nobody is accusing anybody, including me, is not accusing anybody of taking our time away. Before the saber rattling starts,
we have no idea what happened.
It's something different every week. This is different.
Right.
So
right.
Okay.
We don't know what happened.
First of all, I want to say a couple of things. I was on the 600-mile trip last week, and there were some difficulties, and we didn't get on, so we did cancel the program. And I'm hopefully everybody who tried to get on saw that, but we're now back again, and we are going to go to the book of Judges, chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 1, and I'm going to start a rather lengthy study here where we're going to go through Judges, and it's going to be let me see what I got here in my notes as far as what chapter we're going to do. We're probably going to go through the first 5 chapters of Judges. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
This is going to be a long study, and this follows up on everything we've read in 1 Samuel. And it actually is, it's going to show the the mess that the people were in. Remember that we had 950 years of 450 years we had of judges, and we're just going to show
because
this?
Because Judges was written by Samuel, correct?
I believe so. I do believe you're correct on that.
I believe
it
was.
In fact, I've got a note here that it, yes, absolutely is, yes. And then after we're done with Judges, we're going to go into some other stuff. Now, we're gonna show how depraved these people would keep getting in 450 years. And this is God's church at the time. This is Israel. These weren't the unbelievers. That's very important to know, which means that the enemy is going to be doing the same thing to us. He's going to use every tactic he can. So why don't we go ahead, and I'll give a number to call in if you want to make a comment, or if you have a question, just please, like always, keep the language decent. And I only say that because with most of the calls I've ever gotten, most, a great percentage, which shows you I've gotten very few calls, have been very off color. And I will hit the delete button as soon as, or take you off the air as soon as I sense that this is where it's going. And the only other rule I ask, the thing that I want to do, call it a rule, is keep the conversation, the questions, the comments in the same context that the Bible study is going. Why don't you go ahead and hit Judges chapter 1 and verse 1. Go ahead.
All right. Now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, "Who shall be the first to go up for us against the Canaanites to fight against them?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up. Indeed, I have delivered the land into his hand."
Now you see,
so
there,
Judah said,
"You see what? You see where this is a point that this minister made today. This is how he started the whole thing off. Whenever you've got a question, you ever want wisdom, and he actually used that word. If you're ever seeking wisdom, do not go to man." James 1:5. Why don't you read that?
Yeah.
Because that's what happened here. They went, Israel asked the Lord, saying, "Who shall go up?" In other words, they didn't go to any person. And that is the bane of the modern day church, and I will say that. No ifs, ands, or buts. The downfall is we are constantly wanting to go to people, including Bible studies and everything, rather than going to God when we need wisdom, when we want wisdom. But go ahead and read James 1:5. That's exactly what Israel did here. Beautiful.
Yes. "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him."
Now read verse 1 and 2 again. They asked for wisdom, and God gave them an immediate answer.
Yes. "Now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, 'Who shall be first to go up for us against the Canaanites to fight against them?' And the Lord said, 'Judah shall go up. Indeed, I have delivered the land into his hand.'"
Do you see the phenomenalness of that? That's, I'm creating a new word here. God said here, I've delivered them into your hand. In other words, this is showing me, though, Raven, that if I'm going and doing something even good, but I'm not doing what God has for me to do, he's not delivered the enemy into my hand. I'm going to get steamrolled.
Right. Yeah. You know what's interesting here, Carl?
No, go ahead. Keep going. This is great.
Is that, you know, we can always get an answer. Now, doesn't mean that God always gives us certain things that we ask for immediately, but he will
answer us.
And those are two different things.
Amen.
Yeah, those are two different things. You
but he will give it to you when you need it, not when I want it.
That's right. That's right. And you know, too often we think that you know, telling God to heal us, you know, or even just asking God to heal us of a certain thing is, and those are our wants, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those are our wants.
Mm-hmm.
We think
mm-hmm.
that because he doesn't do something that we ask or tell him to do, that is not an answer, that he's not answering us. But that's not true. There is a difference between praying and asking God to
answering and I'm not listening.
Right. See,
okay.
but there's a difference between that and asking God for wisdom. There's a huge difference between those two things, because as you know, you went to James, and also in James before it says, if you lack wisdom, it talks about counting it all joy when you fall into various trials. You know, so we're going to go through trials.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
But this is why I'm isolating this is they didn't know what step to take. They weren't disbelieving God. They weren't doubting God's promise. But they still,
right.
Every move they made, we have to go. And this is the bane of the present day visible church, however you want to phrase it, is that we are over the top and going to man. You cannot even have Bible studies without commentaries and study guides. Why can't the Holy Spirit be your teacher?
Right.
So they.
Well, I'm making a point, though, here about something that you said, because you say we go to man, and too many men or women, whichever, you know, but people in the churches.
Mankind. When I say man, I mean mankind. Yeah.
I know you do, right? But I'm just clarifying it for some of them out there who, you know.
Okay.
But anyway, but too many in the churches are claiming that, you know, that we can just do all this name it and claim it type of stuff. And
right, that's the way they're taught. I've heard that since I left a certain non-Bible reading denomination, or whatever you call it, religion, in 1986. This is all I ever heard.
And that's exactly why we have to go to God first, not to man.
Amen.
Because if we try going to men, they're going to tell us all kinds of unbiblical stuff.
Yep.
We have to go to God.
You're right. But here, the Israel did the right thing, okay?
Yeah.
And this is the book of Judges, which is probably the most tragic book in the Bible of the church. But we're right there. We've outdone Judges as far as going into apostasy. But the thing that was said today is that go to God before you go to man when you want wisdom. And that's what Israel did here. But we're going to see, even though they started out right, and God even said, I have delivered them I've delivered the land into his hand. We're going to see how in a very short period of time they ended up going into an apostasy. So go ahead and let's say 3, 4, and 5.
All right. So Judah said to Simeon, his brother, come up with me to my allotted territory, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I will likewise go with you to your allotted territory. And Simeon went with him. Then Judah went up, and the Lord, everything
right now is good. They're obeying God.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Then Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand. and they killed 10,000 men at Bezek. And they found Adonai Bezek in Bezek and fought against him. And they defeated the Canaanites and the Perizzites.
Okay, so everything is, God is doing what he said in verse 2. I have delivered them into the land into your hand. How many people want to serve God? They want to serve God. And they are going to counselors. They are going to Christian psychologists. They are going to pastors. They're going to dingbots like myself who have no training in anything whatsoever. And we're giving them expert advice. We're even telling them what ministry, where they ought to go, move to another part of the country. Why? And this was a minister, ordained minister's sermon as a substitute today. Why won't the present day church go to God first? And they don't.
Yeah.
Now everything is going smooth. Look at this. How many did they kill? 10,000 men?
10,000.
Why?
Yeah.
Because God has already conquered the problem. What is the problem you're going through out there? Is it, I absolutely know four people right now that I physically know who are in the throes of cancer. Is that what you're going through? What is, if you are considering becoming a volunteer for a church or even a person who is going to go into the ministry, is it guaranteed that God wants you to have one of the four churches on four corners of every street in this country as a pastor and spend your time raising money? You sure that's what God wants you to? We got to ask God. Ask him. It's so simple. If you lack wisdom, Raven Red, if you lack wisdom, ask God, and he will give it to you. There are no disclaimers. The disclaimers, if you don't believe it, then you're on your own.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead with 6. Go 6 through 10.
All right. Then Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and big toes.
True.
And
why is that? You just think of it. Thumbs, you can't do anything. Without a big toe, you can't run.
Yeah.
In fact, I mean this sincerely. Having been a baseball fan all my life, I remember when one of the prolific base stealers of the past, and he got a severe bruise on one of his big toes. He couldn't run, even though the rest of his body was fine. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off used to gather their food under my table, as I have done. So God has I missed the first few words. And Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off used to gather their food under my table, as I have done, so God has repaid me.
Then they
brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. Yes.
You see? Hopefully the man repented.
Yes. Now the children of Judah fought against Jerusalem and took it. They struck it with the edge of the sword and set the city on fire. And afterward, the children...
Yeah, no, you're right.
And afterward, the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites, who dwelt in the mountains in the south and in the lowland. Then Judah went against the Canaanites who dwelt in Hebron. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kirjath Arba, and they killed Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai.
Okay, keep going. So far,
from there,
you see everything is going clear. The point is, everything going right. They're asking God what to do. They're doing what God said, no more, no less. No different, and everything is going good.
Yes. From there, they went against the inhabitants of Debir. The name of Debir was formerly Kirjath-Sefer. Then Caleb said, "He who attacks Kirjath-Sefer and takes it, to him I will give my daughter Akshah as wife." And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it. So he gave him his daughter Akshah as wife.
So everything's now going smooth so far. Everything's smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Now it was so, when she came to him, that she urged him to ask her father for a field. And she dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, "What do you wish?" So she said to him, "Give me a blessing. Since you have given me land in the south, give me also springs of water." Then Caleb gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. Now the children of Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up from the city of palms with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which lies in the south near Arad. And they went and dwelt among the people. And Judah went with his brother Simeon, and they attacked the Canaanites who inhabited Jephthah and utterly destroyed it. So the name of the city was called Hormah.
Stop for a moment.
And Judah,
just stop a minute.
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay.
That last phrase you use in the first sentence, they utterly destroyed it. When God tells us to do something, don't take and pick and choose what part of God's work you're going to do. You're either going to do it all or nothing.
Yes. Yes.
Go ahead.
Also, Judah took Gaza with its territory, Ashkelon with its territory, and Ekron with its territory. So the Lord was with Judah, and they drove out the inhabitants of the mountains, but they could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowland because they had chariots of iron. And they gave Hebron to Caleb. Okay.
This is interesting. Let's just look at that. The Lord was with Judah, and he drove out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had chariots of iron. All right. I'm going to look back at verse 2. The Lord said to Judah, "I have delivered the land into your hand." Do you see what, because they had chariots of iron, do you see where the mistake is coming up right now? So far, everything was going good. But the minute things get a little difficult and you see it's something you can't handle, we fear and we doubt God's word. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Because they had chariots. God never said, if they have chariots of iron, I can't defeat them. You see the mistake in 19?
Yes.
The first little thing that I look at, so that means that all this time for 18 verses, things have been going good, but their faith has been in themselves, not in verse 2, which when God said, "I've delivered the land," even though God has delivered the land into their hand, they're still trusting in self. And, man, that is the problem with me.
I see what you're saying.
Even when I'm obeying God, my problem, Raven, and you and I, you pretty much know every one of my faults. But seriously, even when I'm doing God's will, my faith is in me rather than him, and that's wrong. That's the problem.
Because they had chariots of iron.
Yeah.
So they had chariots of iron. Who cares?
Well, but I can relate to this. God tells me to do something, and I'm doing it, and everything's going good until something I don't figure on, and because that's just showing that I'm not fully trusting in God, and I can relate to this.
Yes, I can too, Carl. I can too. I've got these little things that I say, "Well, God, but but I don't know how to do that one. And then he's saying to me, okay, but you have to give that all to me too. Okay, but, yeah.
Yeah. No,
but there's a chariot of iron there.
As long as God is fulfilling his promise in my comfort zone, which shows me that Carl is really depending on his own self.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
And basically, you and I are still saying in some areas, but I don't know how to deal with that chariot of iron.
And it's true, but God never said, I can't defeat the chariot of iron.
Right. Boy, I got to underline this one. I got to underline this one, man.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, what are our chariots of iron?
Amen. That's the question. Exactly. No, that is the question.
What
is there that even though you're obeying God and everything's going well, your faith is still in what your comfort rather than see, when he tells us to rely on him, we got to go out of our comfort zone. There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
Boy, I love
and
that,
I
Carl.
Like that.
I never caught that before, but that's so true. What are my chariots of iron?
Yeah, exactly. Now let's put your finger there and go to Deuteronomy 1.
Yeah.
And I want you to read 41 through 46. Put your finger in that Judges 1. And listen, this is
41 through 46.
Yes, go ahead and read that, Deuteronomy 1.
Boy, that's going to be a new one for me this week. What are my chariots of iron? Wow.
That's right.
That was a big ouch for me right there, Carl.
It only represents, chariots of iron only mean things that you're out of your comfort zone, which indicates that your faith is not really in God. It's in yourself, even though you're okay.
Right. But it's a picture. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a picture in my mind. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you answered and said to me, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight just as the Lord our God commanded us. And when every one of you had girded on his weapons of war, you were ready to go up into the mountain. And the Lord said to me, tell them, do not go up nor fight, for I am not among you to be defeated before your enemies.
Now, do me a favor. Go, hold on, read verse 37. Now, God had told them this before 41, rather. Read what 37 says.
The Lord was also angry with me for your sakes, saying, even you shall not go in there.
Mm-hmm. And yet, what are they doing in 41? That's their comfort zone. So they're going to go in there and they're going to do it. So do you see where even the problem is, again, this is just the opposite. They were now doing more than what God said. Either way, our faith is not in God. It's in me.
Right. So it's like they were saying, you know, that's okay because we can do this one in our own flesh.
Yeah.
We don't need your help.
No, I really don't. God, I really don't need you.
Oh, man.
Go to 43.
Okay, what?
Go to 42 and 43.
Hold on a minute. I got to write that verse down.
But hold on a minute.
Mm-hmm.
This is an abuse of God's direction in both ways. One, you cower away in fear because it's out of your comfort zone. The other one, you go more than what he said to do.
You're hurting me. You're hurting me, Carl.
Oh, don't you think before I'm hurting you, I'm hurting me?
Oh, yeah. You know, people, I think that a lot of people that, you know, listen, and maybe they get it by now because if they've listened to us a lot, but, you know, and if they listen to me on Wednesday, you know, they may understand that, you know, when we talk about stuff on here, we're not – It may hit them. Something that we talk about may hit them, but what we're really doing is preaching to ourselves.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I see myself everywhere here.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think that God gives me, and I know that God gives me the things to speak on, and I know that you've said the same thing, because he knows where I need to be studying in.
See,
yep,
this whole book
at any given time.
Is about, this whole book is not about me saying, oh, I'm doing the right thing. This whole book
right.
is for God to point out to me what I need to do to submit to him.
Yeah.
Remember James
1:5,
God gives you the wisdom, but he doesn't want you to not do what he says, and he doesn't want you to do any more than he says.
Right. There's nothing in Scripture that says, yeah, there's nothing in Scripture that says, oh, you're a great person, just keep doing what you're doing. There's nothing
Amen.
Here. It's all, and
yet,
every single bit of Scripture says, you need to keep coming back to me. You need to keep repenting, because there is nothing in you that's righteous unless it is me that's in you. The only thing in you that's righteous is me. Yeah. Yep.
Now, if you think you're hurt right now, read 42 again. This is God's
yeah.
promise. You, Carl, you're going to go do what I told you not to do? Or I didn't tell you
and
to
the,
do this? You got creative on your own?
And the Lord said to me, tell them, do not go up nor fight, for I am not among you, lest you be defeated before your enemies.
Have any of us ever been defeated
yep.
in our ministry, our ministry?
Right in front of people. It's like, I'm going to take you down a couple notches just so you can
yep.
see that you cannot do it without me, even though you thought you could. Oh, yeah.
You see, Raven,
yeah.
now the positive side of all this is that's why I believe Hebrews chapter 12 exists. It's just a continuous of God will come up and we'll do something and we won't do what he says, or we won't fulfill what he told us to do, or then we'll go and we'll go bonkers and go wild over something that some man said rather than what God said. And this Hebrews chapter 12 is a thing that never ends, because God is constantly chasing
yeah.
you and chastising you, because the natural human being, Raven, it's just not you and I that have these particular two problems. It's natural in the human. It's a part of our fallen condition. That's
yeah,
why
absolutely.
James says, when you are chastened, count it as joy, which I still have difficulty with, but I believe it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is God saving me from myself.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And that is exactly
Absolutely.
What James means in that James 1:2-4. Because if God didn't do this to you, you'd be fighting these battles on your own, and you're going to get killed by your enemy. He said it there.
Yeah.
Lest you be smitten before your enemy. He doesn't want
yes.
that to happen. So this doesn't mean that God's against us. Folks, if you're
no.
a true born-again believer, you're going to have periods where you are in this chastening, because God is seeing that he gave us direction in something, and we're either going too much or not doing what he said. So he chastens us. And James says,
yeah.
count it pure joy. I
that chastening
it.
Is a warning, you know?
It is.
It's a,
exactly.
It's this,
well,
it's this same warning that you're showing me in Deuteronomy.
Go to 2 Corinthians 1:8-9 and read what you told me this week. And this is Paul when he was building the churches, what God had to do to him. Not that Paul was
yeah.
a bad person, but God, we have, this is our fallen nature, folks. Our fallen nature is to add to and subtract. That's why the last four verses of the Bible don't add anything or subtract. But go ahead and read 2
yeah.
Corinthians 1. And you said you actually started at verse 6. Read 6 through 9.
If we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead.
And read verse 10. This summarizes it.
Who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us.
So what he's saying there is just don't take this chastening and these problems as God is against you or he's punishing you.
Yeah.
This is showing that he's trying to keep you from what? From so great a death.
Yeah.
Which we also read in Deuteronomy. It says, don't do this. I won't be with you unless you be smitten before your enemy.
Yeah.
So these things that are going on, and you know three people, Raven, that I'm referring to, that right now are going through maybe a death sentence, and yet we look at that and we say, because what if they do die? Let's say you die in surgery. Well,
yeah.
If these people are submitting to God's will, their problems are over.
Right,
everything that they've ever dreamed, everything that is a Christian, they're going to be in heaven for all eternity. I don't find that being a bad punishment.
Right, yes.
I'm saying this is tough, and I'm going back on this sermon I heard today. Even though you don't like it, you've got to realize that God is doing this for your good. Now, look what he did to Paul, right?
Yes.
And Paul was almost flawless as far as a Christian.
Yeah.
But why did he do this? Read there again in 2 Corinthians 1:9. Why did God allow these things to happen, this chastening to Saul? Read that one more time.
Okay. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead.
Go to 1 Corinthians 1 and read 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5. This is it. This is what Paul laces his messages with. I don't care if it's Old Testament, New Testament. God never changes his message.
That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Now, 1 Corinthians 2:2, and this tells you how you keep your faith in the power of God, not the wisdom of men.
Yes. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Do you see what that's saying, Raven? That if you and I really, really want to have to be in the power of God, not the wisdom of men, it's not just something sounds nice on a Bible study. We've got to keep our faith in one thing, and that's Jesus Christ, period. Nothing else. Nothing else. No church, no denomination, no pastor, no sacrament, no spiritual gift, nothing, nothing.
Yeah.
How often do you hear a sermon where it's Jesus Christ, the cross is the center of everything? And it is. The cross is it. If you leave, if your total faith is in anything in addition to Jesus Christ and what he did for you at Calvary, you're going to have your faith in what? In man. And that's exactly right from what you're reading here with these people. The first group of people in the first group of people in Judges, they feared the chariots, the iron chariots. The second group of people went overboard. But both of them weren't putting their faith in God. They were putting it what they reasoned, what they rationalized.
Yeah.
And I do this. This is part of my fallen nature. And the only way God can keep me from being consumed by the enemy, and the enemy is Satan, the way God can keep me is because he does to me what James says. You see, folks, we're at the end of your, when you finally die and you meet Christ, you're going to realize that James was really right. James is sitting back looking at this in perspective and saying, I'll tell you what, I counted joy because even though I didn't like it at the time, God was keeping me from maybe an eternal destruction.
Yeah.
This is so
exactly.
deep. Okay.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah.
Now let's continue on Deuteronomy 1 and read 43.
Okay.
This is God speaking, God talking.
So I spoke to you, yet you would not listen, but rebelled against the command. Oh, I hate to admit how many times.
Oh, I know, but I mean, at least you're aware of it. But you see, God is right now, he is right now instructing us, both of us, and our weaknesses. He's bringing this to light. The evil right now in this is not that you've done it. The evil would be if you read this and you don't apply it to yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
Go ahead.
But rebelled against the command of the Lord and presumptuously went up into the mountain. Presumptuously.
No, man. Hold on. But man, including men, women, including our own self, which is our biggest enemy, will tell you that it's all right. God's a big God. He's got many wills, prevenient will. That's something that I heard I don't want to say too much. I heard it was part of the theology of the denomination I was in. God has prevenient will. God will accept this. No, it's his infinite mercy and justice and patience. His will is one thing, Carl, and that is you listen to me and you depend on me defeating the enemy. You don't worry about chariots, iron chariots. You don't worry about the fact that you think you can beat these other people because I have not defeated them. This speaks volumes to me.
You know what I think of when I see that word in that verse there, presumptuously. Presumptuously went up into the mountain. I think you
figured it out.
Yeah, like turning around and thumbing your nose at him, like, I got this. That's like, quit trying to tell me what to do. It's like a little kid looking at their mom or dad and sticking their tongue out. Like, I can do this. I don't need you. I don't have to do
and
it
that,
your
that's,
way.
And that's exactly, that's what we do. But see, the point is, he's speaking to you and I, and I know he is because both of us are expounding on this in the first person.
Yes. Yes. Oh, absolutely. Because I've been there. Not only have I been there and done it, but I know foolishly, stupidly, that I will do it again and will have to repent. I know I will.
Well, go ahead. Okay.
Because I'm still in the flesh.
Being you just said that, read the consequences in 44.
And the Amorites who dwelt in that mountain came out against you and chased you as bees do. Oh. And drove you back from Seir to Hormah.
Do you see what God's
chased
trying
you as
to protect
bees
us
do.
From?
Hold yeah.
on. That's what God's trying to protect. That's why we go through the trials of Hebrews chapter 12, the chastening. We don't like it. But that's what God is trying to keep us from. You read in verse 42, lest the enemy smite you. And then in 44, you're going to be destroyed. This is what God's trying to keep us from. That's why the chastening of chapter 12 of Hebrews.
Yeah.
I am not to the point, Raven, where you are, and not as far ahead, where you really see where you apply and you rejoice in these trials, you I understand it, but you're a little bit further in processing that spiritually than I am. But that is what James is saying. God is actually doing us a favor.
Well, let me tell you, Carl, I think the only reason I'm where I'm at is because I asked for it. I mean, I did. I foolishly, well, I guess not foolishly looking back at it, but I, you know, I kind of said, bring it on, you know? I mean, but I mean, because I knew I needed it, I said to God, you know, Lord, show me, you know, what I need to do, because I know I am in a mess. And so that's
Raven,
what he did.
Raven, at
he
roughly
took me
4:30
there.
At roughly 4:30 this morning, after I'd done my exercise that I always do, and okay, I was just putting my cup of coffee in the microwave, and I made a statement.
Mm-hmm.
I said, God, you do whatever you've got to do to me, whatever.
Yeah.
I said, I don't care what the consequences are. And I said, I realize that I'm lying to you right now. I do care what the consequences are, but I'm telling you, you got my permission to do it. And I tell you, it's frightening.
It
in
is.
Words, I've got
and it's coming.
Yeah.
It's
going to
happen.
Choice. Yeah, because if I don't, I'm going to be in verse 32 or 44 from Satan, the enemy, the power of darkness.
But let me tell you, but that is going to bring you into James 1, 2 through 4.
That's right. That's how I'll see the reality of it, even though I believe it.
Yes, because that's what happened to me. I mean, whew, but it hurts. It's painful.
Now read. If we don't, Raven, now here it's going to hurt a little more. I want you to read 45, because that's when you see God working and you tell him, I don't want your help. Read 45.
Yeah. Then you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not listen to your voice nor give ear to you. Imagine that pain. Imagine that pain.
That's what he's trying to save us from.
Yes. Yes.
Now let's bring it into the modern. God's trying to deal with us. He's trying to chasten us. He's trying to get us to listen to him rather than man. And we're listening to false doctrine. We're listening to false gospels. We're listening to the secret sensitive movement, which says everything, you know, they use Romans chapter 7 that Paul couldn't do what he wanted to do, did what he didn't want to do. And they're saying God's prevenient grace, God's prevenient will, that he's got many wills. So, you know, that's all fake news. That's not biblical. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And after a while, Raven, now you just read verse 45 again and then go to 2 Corinthians 4:4.
All right. Then you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not listen to your voice nor give ear to you.
Now let's bring it into the modern day in the 2 Corinthians 4:4. You keep ignoring God for so long, and he actually does this to you. He will not hear you anymore until you repent.
Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them.
Do you see what God does? You want to keep playing these games? You're going to get to the same point we were over there before, where we were in Deuteronomy. Think of this.
Yeah.
That's why James, when he considered that God would not even listen to his prayer anymore, and he could depart from the living God through unbelief. He actually thanks God and rejoices in trouble. That sounds insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what
I thought it was.
Folks,
when,
well, we all, I still do, but I believe it. I just not am as
right.
experienced, if I can use the word, as you are, in applying it. And I don't want to, Raven. And when I said that this morning, I said, God, I don't care what the consequences. And I says, you know I do care. But what I'm saying is I've got to go through this stuff even though it's gonna hurt.
Right.
I've got to do it because I don't want to be destroyed.
Yes.
Boy, this is enlightening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. All right. Now we're back to Judges chapter 1.
All right. Back to those iron chariots.
Yeah. Yeah. So go
ahead. I can't get that picture out of my mind.
Well, but no, that's where we started this whole thing. Because every one of us, we either do two things. Or a combination of both. We either do what we think and we don't need God's opinion, or we're afraid to, we'll believe him. As long as money keeps rolling in and everything is fine with me and no challenges, everything is good, I'm going to trust God. But the minute I see something I can't handle, then I'm going to go into hyperventilation.
Right. Yeah.
All right, let's go to 20. Read 20 through 24.
All right. And they gave Hebron to Caleb, as Moses had said. Then he expelled from there the three sons of Anak. But the children of Benjamin. But the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites who inhabited Jerusalem. So the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this
day.
That
is, Raven, when we're in a church where we hear false doctrine, like God has many wills for you, sin is okay, or we hear that Jesus is love. There is no love of God or Jesus, folks. There is none. There's no love of Jesus Christ to us without preaching his wrath, and that is 1 John 3. When you hear these false gospels, but you stay there, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to drive out the enemy.
Because
you're dwelling, the children are they're dwelling with the children, the enemy is dwelling with the children of Benjamin.
Yeah.
Why? Because the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited. Are you in a place where you know the doctrine doesn't meet what the scripture says? Where they're preaching denomination, they're preaching man's tradition in their denomination, seek all kinds of signs and wonders, but not a word about repentance. Folks, you've got to answer this to yourself. I've got enough problems of my own that I'm up at 3 in the morning worrying about this. Not worrying. It's bothering me because I know I'm not trusting God the way I should. Making sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, now go to verse 25, and let's see what these children of Jeb, here, this is an example of what they were doing.
All right. So he showed them the entrance to the city, and they struck the city with the edge of the sword, but they let the man and all his family go.
You see where that's
and
up
the
there
man,
in verse, you see where that's verse 21?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you're going to destroy what God doesn't like. But then when it comes down to something you may want to take part in, you're not going to follow God. It's going to eat you up, folks.
Yeah.
All right, now let's revert back to 22.
Okay. And the house of Joseph also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them.
Is the Lord
so
with
the house
you before
of,
you talk? Hold on. Before we take part in anything, is God with us? Ask him. I don't know. James 1:5. Why do we go to people Why do we go to pastors, to teachers, to people like me, or to commentaries, or anything other than to the scripture and praying to God for wisdom? That was the whole sum and substance of this man's sermon today. Why do the churches do this?
Right.
Because you know why? Our faith is in man, not in God. And as Raven read before in 1 Corinthians 2:2, if your faith is in man rather than God, the sole object of your faith is not Jesus Christ and him crucified. Do you see that tie-in?
Yeah.
If I'm depending on man, including myself, my faith is not totally in Jesus Christ.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. Add on your own self too. You can't go to your what you want. You can't go to your own wisdom. You have to go to God. Yeah.
Here, I may sit after we're done with this program and sit and think, oh, how evil Raven is and how confused. But the biggest enemy with any of us is ourselves. That's Genesis 3:5.
Yep. Yes. Absolutely.
Genesis 3:5 is the cause of everything we're seeing. We know more than God. We're like God.
Yes. I'm my own worst enemy.
To this. Yeah. But as long as you recognize it and we're repenting and asking God's help, there's nothing wrong with seeing it. What's wrong is seeing it and then making an excuse like these people do in these other in Christianity today, where they justify sin. That is ridiculous.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
All right, keep going, wherever you were there. You were in 25. Let's go 23. Start with 23.
Yeah, 23. So the house of Joseph sent men to spy out Bethel. The name of the city was formerly Luz. And the spies saw a man coming out of the city. They said to him, please show us the entrance to the city, and we will show you mercy. So he showed them the entrance to the city, and they struck the city with the edge of the sword. But they let the man and all his family go.
You see the problem? God, I'm going to destroy everything. Oh, God, I'm going to get rid of all my records, and I'm going to get rid of all this stuff. But you know what? I'm not going to delete porn websites from my phone. I can handle that, God.
Yeah.
Okay. Go to 26 and 7.
And the man went to the land of the Hittites, built a city, and called its name Luz, which is its name to this day.
Now, you see what? So, you let one man go? You let one sin go? And what does it do? It builds a city.
Yes. It takes up residence somewhere else. Yeah.
Amen.
And starts it all over again.
Now, read 27.
Yes.
You see where in 27 verses, we've gone from 1 and 2 where everybody is doing what they should. Look where they went in 27 verses. Watch the sin be repeated here. Go ahead, 27.
However, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of Bethshan. You know, that just hit me with something there, Carl, because so what happened was instead of them counting on God to get them into the city, they decided they needed help from man. So
that's exactly the point.
Yes. So what they did was they said, okay, we got to have this guy. And so then we'll just tell him, hey, you help us, and then we'll let you go. And this is exactly what we do. Instead of us believing that God is going to take care of all of it, we take care of it ourselves. And in so doing, we don't get rid of all the sin. A little bit of it stays there, and then it takes residence. It kind of hides out. It hides starts to build back up again.
Hold on, Raven. It went from one man and his family to a whole city. And that city will overcome you. And when you cry out to God, he's going to say, I don't even hear you anymore.
Right. Yes. Because it's going to hide out for a little bit, and then it's going to go take up residence elsewhere, or it's going to take up residence somewhere else in your body or in your mind or in your spirit. I mean, this is a big thing here. You know, we sometimes read through this stuff and don't understand.
Oh, no. Raven,
unless the Holy Spirit shows us.
I'm seeing things today that I didn't pick up on when I studied it. Read verse 1 again.
All right. Now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall be the first to go up for us against the Canaanites to fight
now
against
read
them?
Hold on. Now read verse 28. The same people of Israel, the same church, has totally gone in a different direction.
And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites under tribute, but did not completely drive them out. Mm-hmm.
When Israel was strong, that means when Carl, like Raven said, when you stick your tongue out at God and say, you can handle it. When I start feeling that I'm in control and it's working my way rather than God's, look where they went. You see where they obeyed God. In verse 1, they went right to God. In verse 28, they're ignoring God. When it said they put the Canaanites to tribute, that means that they used everything they had for their own selfish purpose. Took their money, their women, and everything else, rather than destroying it. No, let's see how far this cancer spread. So far, you've read about what? You've read about the house of Joseph, the house of Benjamin? Raven, are you there?
Yes.
Are you there with me?
I'm here. Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, because I've got another call coming in, but I'm not gonna take that because I'm too stupid to, and I'll disconnect from the program. And I don't know. It's a friend of mine. I don't know why he's calling. It's a serious call, I think. But here, let's continue. It came to pass when Israel was strong, they put the Canaanite. Okay, now look at all the people in Israel are going haywire. Read 29, 30, 31.
Okay.
32.
Nor did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites who dwelt in Gezer. So the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Nor did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron or the inhabitants of Nahalol. So the Canaanites dwelt among them and were put under tribute. Mm. Nor did Asher drive out the inhabitants.
I'm going to milk this thing for everything I can get out of it. Even though God said, have no part with it, destroy it, I have utterly destroyed it. Keep going.
Yep.
This is a
Nor
cancer.
Did Asher.
This is a, yep.
Yes. Nor did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko or the inhabitants of Sidon or of Alab, Akshib, Helba, Afrik, or Rehob. So the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out.
Now.
And this is what happened to us.
The Amorites. The Amorites is an enemy they did not drive out. Read the next verse. It shows what the Amorites are going to do if you're going to leave them there. Verse 34.
So the you want me to read 33 first or no? I didn't do 33 yet.
Yep, that's fine.
Nor did the Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh or the inhabitants of Beth Anath, but they dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and Beth Anath were put under tribute to them. And the Amorites
rather than destroying the enemy, I'm keeping a little bit of sin next to me because I can still enjoy it. Go ahead.
Yeah. And the Amorites
forced the children. Look what happens now if you let the enemy stay. You let the enemy stay. Look what happens.
And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountains, for they would not allow them to come down to the valley. And the Amorites were determined.
Hold on. Do you see why James counts it pure joy when you go through chastening? Because he doesn't want to get in verse 34 where the Amorites force him into the mountain.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And the Amorites were determined to dwell in Mount Heres, in Ajalon, and in Shalbim. Yet when the hand of the house of Joseph became stronger, they were put under tribute.
In other words, they were put, Joseph now, the house of Joseph was now put under tribute. Means they're slaves.
Yeah.
See that?
Yes.
Now read verse 22.
Yes.
Read 22.
Now 22. Back up there. And the house of Joseph also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them.
And then read 35. Do you see how quick it changes?
And the Amorites were determined to dwell in Mount Horus, and Ajalon, and in Shalbim. Yet when the hand of the house of Joseph became stronger, they were put under tribute.
So you see this quick switch around?
Mm-hmm.
Joseph now became slaves to the Amorites. In verse 22, the Lord was with them because they were obeying God. This is unbelievable. This is so talking about us.
Yeah.
Now read verse 36. It shows you that if you do not end the enemy, if you do not destroy the enemy, if you do not destroy everything in your life that you know in your own mind is a danger to you, it's going to just like cancer. It's going to spread.
Yes. Now the boundary of the Amorites was from the ascent of Akrabim from Selah and upward.
Do you see the difference compared to where when they were obeying God, they wiped them out?
Yeah.
They killed 10,000 men in verse 4. They slew the Canaanites in verse 5. They cut off this Adonai Bezek and his people and cut off the thumbs and toes.
Yeah.
You see how quick, you see this thing where I said in 450 years of the period of judges of Israel, they had 9 different apostasies. You see how quick we go into an apostasy? And I think, and this is only an opinion, that once God gives me the victory, it is human nature to now start relaxing, not reading your Bible as much, not paying attention to your prayer life, not communicating with the Holy Spirit like you do when you're having difficulties. And I think it's really complacency in my part. Anyhow, I'm speaking for my own self.
This is why we need trials.
Raven, I need more help when I'm going through. Let's say, just for the heck of it, I'm 80 years old in 6 months. Let's say that they find cancer in me. I'll be honest with you, I feel spiritually less in danger than I do when everything is going great, where I get complacent. That's a heck of a thing to say.
Yes, but that's why we need the trials. That's why we need the chastening. They are for our good. That's why he tells us, count it all joy. The testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We need the trial.
Perfect does not mean we never make a mistake. It says we're lacking nothing.
Right. It means mature. The word actually means to become mature.
I've been beating around the bush. Let me tell you a personal experience that we've had now for about 3 weeks. My wife had cancer 8 years ago, major surgery, 17 chemo treatments, and they devastated her. Then she went through radiation. She's been clean for 7 years. We found out 3 weeks ago that cancer, she's got it now again. Now, here's the issue, and I'm telling you the truth. Both of us are seeking God more than we do when everything is fine and dandy. I'm serious. I hate to say
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
In fact, there's almost, even though we're going through a tumultuous time, there's almost a peace in this that we know God is holding us. He's holding
yeah.
us when things are going good, but I'm not paying attention to him. I'm going
yeah.
into apostasy. And I hate to say this, but I'll tell you something. The things that come out of her mouth are unbelievable, where she honestly is not rattled by this. And that has
yeah.
to be from God. But even Paul, after his churches he established in Corinthians, he had to go through things, Raven. I'm going to go back to that 2 Corinthians. And let me just read that a second. Listen to this. Trouble in Asia. We were pressed out of measure, which means beyond his ability to handle it, above strength,
mm-hmm.
in so much that he despaired of his own life. He had the sentence
yeah.
of death, that we should not trust in ourselves but God, the sentence of death. And I'm telling you, I can see where now we've got another threat on us that we feel like we're more, we're feeling the comfort of Christ's care more than we do when things are going good and we don't think about them. It's a crazy thing. I need help
You're talking,
more when things are good.
Because it takes you into James 1, 2 through 4, which takes you into Philippians 4, 6 through 7.
Go ahead and read it.
Be anxious for nothing.
James 1 through
4.
But
in everything.
Read James first and then go to Philippians. Make the connection.
Okay. Okay. All right. Let me get there into James first.
Yeah, no problem. Make the full connection.
My brethren, count it.
So people can see. Yeah,
all right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. But let
that's
patience have its
see,
perfect
Raven.
Work. Yeah.
And that's what I see happening with Sue and I. The testing of
yeah.
us. Yeah, go ahead.
But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And I want to add verse 5 to this. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And that's where you go then. You're asking of God. You're going to God in this problem. And that's where you get into Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing, verse 6 and 7, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that's that peace you're talking about right now.
Yes, and that is crazy.
Yeah, but it's true.
It's just so against. Now, what is it? Why is it crazy? Read Genesis 3:5. It goes against the first curse we were ever given. This is part of
yeah.
our DNA. This is part of our fleshly DNA, Genesis 3:5.
Genesis 3:5. For God knows that
DNA.
In the
yeah.
Yes. God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.
Are you looking at a screen
yeah.
that shows our program?
Am I? No. Why?
I mean, you don't have the screen up, do you?
No.
Okay. I'll tell you after we're done. Okay.
Okay. All right.
There's a word. Instead of Freedomizer Radio, somebody has changed Freedomizer Radio to Freedomineremo Radio.
Oh, that's
and
weird.
When somebody tells you the call's not spelling right, no, I'm sorry. I don't even know what that means, but let's continue.
Yeah, that's weird. Okay.
Yeah. This is Anything else you want to say on this? This is so in tune with what I've been thinking of since 3 a.m. this morning.
Well, I'm still in Philippians here, and I'm, you know, he talks about in Philippians, he goes on to say, you know, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And the reason is because when we get into all these trials, all these problems, you know, we have a tendency as people to start to continue to think on all the bad, all the garbage that's going on in our lives. And instead, what we need to do is to meditate on God's word, to rejoice, to praise, to sing hymns, to, you know, to go to Psalms, this kind of thing, instead of thinking about everything that's going on that's bad. We need to go to God. We need to think on those things that are true and pure and noble and lovely and good and virtuous and praiseworthy. And we need to meditate on those things. And instead, we have a tendency, you know, to stay in the bad. And he's reminding us that this is what we're supposed to do, because as humans, that's not what we have a tendency to do. And he tells us that's verse 8. And so then he tells us in verse 11, he says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Now these verses here are often used to say, the one that I'm about to speak is often used to say, I can do anything. I can be the president of the United States. I can do anything in my flesh. But that's not what it means. Verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not talking about I can go out and conquer the world. No. They forget to read verse 11 and 12. You know, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Verse 12 says, I know how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned how to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. In other words, he's saying, it doesn't matter what you're going through in life. I can do all those things through Christ who strengthens me.
God,
it doesn't matter.
Okay,
if you're,
now that thing through Christ, yeah. That's exactly what you said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, determined to know nothing. You see, something determined means that I got to concentrate on. It's not a slam dunk.
Yes. Yes. That's right. That's right. You know, we think it's when we're going through all these trials, in other words, when we're going through all this chastening, we have to turn to God. It's Christ who strengthens us when we're going through these trials. So I can do all those things through Christ. It's not that we sit here and we say, you know, oh, it's all about me and my wisdom. It's God that gets us through everything, both the trials and, remember, he said, I also know how to abound. When things are going well, too, and we forget that sometimes, Carl, just like you said.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, and we need to remember that it's supposed to be Christ that gets us through the good times, too.
Yep.
And we forget that.
Yep. Nope, I truly understand. All right. I'm going to go ahead, Raven. I started a bit early, so I'm going to knock off 5 minutes early. I want to tell you something. I'm going to take a picture of it if I'm smart enough. Hold on.
All right.
Just bear with me. And I'm going to send you something here.
All right.
Well, with my lack of ability, it may not be all right, but I'm going to show you. And I don't have the same screen. I don't have any timing going. And I don't have, and I'll send you the picture, I don't have any time running. And I don't have anything that says end the episode. So just so when you hear that, you know, why is Carl, I have no idea what I'm doing with this. And it's something I've never seen before. It's just that every week something new is being thrown at me. Just see if you get it. You should get this.
Okay.
And right. I want you to look at it. Because I don't know how to end the episode. It doesn't say end episode.
Very strange.
I don't know.
I will.
I'm ignorant on this stuff. I don't even know how to answer a phone hardly. And but every week it's something else that is changing. I'm going to do what I can to end the episode, but if I don't, it's not that I was trying to hog the whole radio program. I'm lost. But anyhow, that's just for your information, that picture. I never timed out. You know how when you get on, it times you?
I got it.
You can see up there with it. Yeah, okay. Just so.
Well, you can't change that.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Do you see Freedomizer Radio? Do you see words it says?
Right. Yeah, I do.
I'm only saying, trust me, I don't know what's going on. And if you hear any complaints, I just want you to, I'm lost. Okay, that's good.
Really
Why don't
weird.
We say a final prayer, and then we'll be back next week. Now, Raven, just something to tickle your innards here. After we've just read what we read, next week we're going to start off reading another chapter, not even in Judges, before we go to 2. It's going to be Numbers 31. Numbers 31, 1 through 24. Just read that during the week and see how it makes you crawl on your skin.
Huh.
Numbers 31.
As if I don't have enough, but I need it, you know,
oh,
and that's just it.
But I'm saying, this is part of God helping us. He's not doing this to make us feel like bums. We know we are.
Did you say Numbers 31 or 21?
31. 1 through 24.
Okay.
And this is what God is saying. Once you've been convicted by God, once you've been convicted, this is what you've got to do. Don't cry because you haven't done it. You're now convicted, folks, by today what we read. We're going to start off with Numbers 31 and read 1 through 24 next week, and then we're going to go into Judges 2. But you can just yourself with that.
Well, you've beaten me up once. Now I'm going to come over and be beaten up by you again. So
No. You can read it at your leisure.
No, I mean at 6 o'clock.
No. That's not beating anybody up. At 6 o'clock, we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1.
All right.
Now, hey. Remember, I was the one being beaten at 4:30 this morning.
Yeah,
I
hear you.
Comment, I said, God, I don't care what the costs are. I immediately said, God, you know I'm lying. I do care, but I'm willing for you to do it. And I mean that.
Right.
I was hoping.
And he knows that.
I'm hoping.
Yeah, but you know what?
But
that's the thing, Carl. Even that's true repentance. Even though he knows that we are aware that it's not what we really want in our flesh, we're willing in our spirit because we know it's necessary.
Amen.
And that's true repentance.
No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
Just folks, if you get guilty on reading this, that's not guilt necessarily on the Bible. That's conviction. Then I want to show us what we're going to do in Numbers 31, because I don't want to present a problem and not give you a solution biblically.
Yeah.
All right. Why don't you say a final prayer and we'll sign off. If I can sign off.
All right. Right. Father, we thank you so much for this last 90 minutes, so much the Holy Spirit showed us during this time. And even though it hurts us, it's at the same time, we're so thankful for it. we really do count it all joy, even though that's hard for us to do. But we're thankful for your conviction, your chastisement, your love, your mercy, and your grace. Because without you, we would be doomed to an eternity in hell. And the sacrifice of your son takes all that away from us if we only repent. In Christ's name, amen.
No, I'm going to hang right, up. God. That's all I can, Raven, all I can do to disconnect is hang up. It doesn't show end episode up here.
All right. All right, Carl.
Take care.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.